NBA Australia. How are you? Are you good? I hope so. I hope your weekend was awesome. This is NBA Australia. It's Monday. March 22, and I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes. Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, literally whoever else wants to sling me that sweet, sweet folding stuff here in Larry Armour Studios, giving you the lowdown, all the ins and outs of the NBA season. We're repping Australia a little bit. That's what we do here. We don't take things too seriously, though. Leave that to the nerds. Speaking of nerds, old mates away this weekend. Oh, this week, rather. So I've got the studio to myself. Also flying solo as a solo dad. So that's pretty good. Jesus. Touch wood. Righto. Big show today. Injuries everywhere. We're losing LeBron, LaMelo. It's all going on. There's a bunch of weekend winners and losers after the game wraps. That's awesome. And we've got That's on an iPhone, mate. No mate, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball, Pantsing of the Evening, and of course, Dickhead of the Weekend. We've got Yeah Nas. We've got the Unpopular Opinion of the Day. We've got Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take, as well as Australian Player Watch, and it's Monday. So that always means an Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence, which will be fun, and a preview for all the games tomorrow. That's a good one. Pick and preview for each of those. And to finish off, a daily review of the first episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That'll be fun. Nice of Daly to swing by. Do his reviews. Right. Episode 573 of NBA Australia. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Oh, you better! Especially if you're out there in your Shaq, and you're, you know, in a roller skating rink. That's what Shaq's been up to over the weekend. I don't know how he does everything. He's just out there doing a whole bunch of shit all the time. Must be nice. Good on him. It's like skating's essential. I mean, I guess it is. It's pretty gnarly. Anyway, I better watch out for the attack of all the injury bugs. Jeez, I hate injuries. But the two least favorite things I like yelling about here on NBA Australia are injuries and refs. I just don't ever want to do it, you know? And I can do both today. Right, let's get into today's show, the way we start every show here on NBA Australia with the daily whip around. There you go. Let's bloody well do it. LeBron. That's right. The first one off the first cab, I guess, off the rank is LeBron James. High ankle sprain. Looked pretty bad. Awesomely came back in after he did it. Was rolling around. He's like Zlatan out there, just rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. It's like he's a soccer player, but god damn, it looked bad because it was an ankle sprain, but it went the wrong way. It's like you usually fold onto it on your outside. This was like inside, and you're like, that's gonna fucking hurt. Not great, but the thing is, he came back in, made a three to ensure that he got over 10 points to keep his 10 points streak active, which is kind of gnarly. Good on him. Then he left. And then today was side of stage on the bench, all in black in a walking boot. So yeah, we'll talk about this a little bit later in the winners and losers and a couple of year nows. And the other big injury was rookie of the year, you know, potentially. Anthony Edwards is coming on fucking strong though. LaMelo Ball. Oh geez, pour one out for the Ball family. That is an absolute brutal one, isn't it?
Steve-o. Get your merch.
I hope you got your merch. Is it balling season or not?
It's balling season!
I guess it is. Fractures his right wrist. He's going to get a second opinion because Woj reckons he's done for the season. LaMelo's like, Woj, you're not a doctor, mate. Fuck off. So LaMelo Ball, look, this sucks. He was an excitement machine. We'll talk about this again in Year Nas as well. But literally, it went out from like, you know, right wrist soreness. He was probable to play after he hurt it against the Clippers. The game, you know, he stayed in there, couldn't really shoot his free throws very well. He was playing left-handed for a lot of it because the kid is tough as fucking nails. But bang, we find out, not probable to play, and in fact, might be done for the season. What? It stinks. Charlotte have been so much fun. And now, bang, this shitty news. The last little bit of injury news, Landry Shamet left today's game with an ankle as well. He's getting his scans. Hopefully, he's all okay. The other news, Elise Johnson, the G League scoring machine, has actually signed with the Nets, a 10-dayer, which is kind of gnarly. Good on him. The trade rumors, though, because I'll tell you what, it's heating up. It's like NBA Jam out here. That's right, trade rumors, because the trade deadline is this week. Are you excited? You better get excited, huh? Because I'm excited. Look, the thing is, the trade deadline could be absolutely gnarly, but the thing is, everybody is still kind of within spitting distance of making the playoffs, basically, apart from pretty much like Detroit, and like that's like pretty, and like Minnesota, basically, right? You know? So you've got every sort of team still thinking they've got a chance. Well, Houston as well, obviously, because they've lost 20 on the trot. But everybody else, apart from those three, is still kind of like, oh, we might have a chance if we have a good week or two. So the thing is, it's going to depend on whether or not teams want to be buyers, want to be sellers, and what teams sort of pull the pin, which teams are actually still like, nah, we're still good, let's go. And everyone's kind of just looking at Orlando. And Orlando's like, what? It's like, come on, seriously, guys? And they're like, nah, we're good. It's like, bro, you're 14 and 28. What? Where are you going? Nah, when we get healthy, man, we might be fuck off. You're not going to be good, Orlando. I love you. You've got great jerseys sometimes. Get rid of that orange one we're talking. But geez, you need to start selling. But the trade rumors are floating around. It's Kyle Lowry. Heat, Sixers, Clippers are all after him with varying degrees of stuff that he could give the Raptors in return. The Sixers are out there. They're like, do you like Tyrese Maxey, man? Yeah, better draft pick. The Clippers as well. It's like, I love it. Every time people talk about the Clippers in trade rumors, it's like, oh, well, they've got Luke Kennard. He's a young player. I mean, he is young. I'm not entirely convinced he's an NBA player. They gave him a $64 million contract and the bloke's barely fucking played because he's shit. And it's like, oh, well, they could give them Luke Kennard. It's like, yeah, do you want to take on the next 3 years of fucking Luke Kennard's contract? No. It's dumb shit. But anyway, Kyle Lowry would obviously help any of those teams. Toronto are on the schneid anyway, so who knows what's going to happen there. And Lonzo Ball, there's suitors out there, including the Hawks and Bulls. And the Pelicans are one of those teams where you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen. They're currently only 2.5 games out of the play-in tournament anyway. Same as the Thunder. The Kings are 3.5. Basically, they're sitting there going, well, look, the Warriors are going to be without Steph for just a little bit. The Grizzlies, who knows what's up with that? And we might have a chance if we just put together a couple of good weeks, man. Thing is, New Orleans put together two good games and then drop another two. They win two, and you're like, wow, they're back! And then they lose another two. It's a classic Pelican, so I don't know. So Lonzo, look, they've talked with Atlanta about Cam Reddish. Who knows what they're talking about with the Bulls? It'll be fascinating to see what they get back from the Bulls for Lonzo. But this is the tricky thing. Lonzo's been pretty bloody good this year. We know this because we have better than Lonzo Ball on this here program. So if you're the Pelicans, what's the thinking? Well, you probably need maybe more of a traditional pick and roll ball handler to pair with Zion, to pair with Steven Adams, rather than Lonzo. Look, his playmaking is fine. It's pretty good, but it's all perimeter-based. He's like, oh, I'm so good at passing. I'm going to pass it really early. It's like sometimes you actually need more of a traditional point guard that's not Eric Bledsoe either to sort of set up offense, run stuff. And it's like, well, that's not really Lonzo now, is it? So I don't know. Interesting thoughts there. Don't know who they're going to get, you know, from the Bulls in return. It's a bit tricky. Also, Lonzo's really young. I think you'd rather keep him. Then he goes, you know, restricted free agency this year. See what the price tag is. Sign him anyway. Then trade him later. This year, I mean, what's going to make you better from Atlanta or the Bulls right now? Very little, I'd say. Other news, fines. Nick Nurse was out there using inappropriate language. He directed inappropriate language at the refs. You fucking dickheads! Yeah, good on you. Got fined $50,000 for throwing his mask and swearing. Paul George for shit-talking the refs on Friday, $35,000. Probably a bit easier for Paul George to swallow the $35,000 than Nick Nurse. I always love that when they fine coaches. And coaches are like, fuck, actually, Jesus, damn it. Yeah, tough scenes. Right, so there you go. Let's do some game wraps, and then we'll fang into the weekend winners and losers. Game wraps, 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 game wraps. They're brought to you by WeAre.co. That's right. They're our favourite community fundraising option because that's right, the NBA Straya Raffle is now live. It went live Friday. It's been gnarly to see how many tickets have been bought for it already. The prizes include tickets to the NBL in the city nearest to you. Regular season games, of course. I'm not going to buy fucking tickets to the finals. Settle down. But we have NBL tickets to give away. We have a KO subscription. We've got NBA Australia merch packs. There's a meat tray. There's some Adidas gear. Yeah, there's lots of good stuff. So go check that out. NBA Australia, weare.co. They're the best as well. They're an Aussie startup that we've partnered with to do this raffle. And it's a really good idea if you're a part of a community sporting club or a social club or something. It's a really simple way, rather than giving out fucking books of raffle tickets and shit like that and going, all right, off you go. You basically give everybody their own link to your one raffle and they can pass it around their friends, family, whatever, and it's fucking awesome. So if you're a part of a community or social club, check out weare.co for crowdfunding and all your raffle needs. It's awesome. So anyway, the NBA Straight one is gnarly, so give them a squeeze. Right, game wraps, easy ones this week. Sacramento beat Boston. It was hilarious. Celtics. People love going, Jimmy, but don't you like the Celtics? I'm like, yeah, I mean, the Celtics are fine. Thing is, I hate and love all teams equally. It's how much, like, their fans get antsy about shit that I love pouring it on, you know? And Celtics fans are very precious about their Celtics. Sacramento beat them 107-96. Hilarious. San Antonio beat the Cleveland. Oh, jeez.
Cleveland!
Cavaliers 116-100. Indy absolutely smoked Miami on Saturday, 137-100. Brooklyn, I called this one. Orlando smashed them 121-113. I called that. The win streak came to an end for Brooklyn. Utah eked past Toronto 115-112. Detroit Basketball Pistons. That's right. The Detroit Basketball Pistons beat the Houston Rockets for their 12th straight double-digit loss. Jesus, 113-100. The Christian Wood revenge game did not happen. He had an 18-11. Not quite enough. Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins. He's like, oh, no, Steph Curry. Let's fucking dance. And Golden State beat Memphis, 116-103 in Memphis. It was crazy. Anyway, Chicago lost in Denver thanks to Nikola Jokic going absolutely off. He's going to pop up again later, 131-127. Denver win that. Awesome game. Minnesota lost in Phoenix in that return game that Minnesota stole the day before. Phoenix win that, 113-101. And Portland come out of absolutely nowhere to run over the top of Dallas in the fourth quarter in Portland. They win 125-119. Dallas couldn't hit a fucking shot to save their lives. Do you reckon they need Ryan Rowdy Brockoff? You better fucking believe it. Get him on a plane over to Dallas ASA and fucking poo. Anyway, Portland were really impressive in that game. It was awesome to see. Melo's hitting shots. Dame's just doing crazy shit. And just like collectively, they just went, all right, we're going to stop Dallas from scoring and we're going to score all the points. It's like, wow, that's a pretty good plan. Sunday, we had Atlanta beat the Lakers 99-94 in that game where LeBron got hurt. Not a giant surprise. It was an early game for the Lakers as well. And we'll talk about this again later, and Atlanta smoked them. Sacramento lost to Philly without Ben Simmons, 129-105 on a back-to-back for Sacramento. Golden State lost in Memphis in the return. Well, the back-to-back. One trip over to Memphis, play both their games. You usually split those. That's exactly what happened. Memphis win at 111-103. Milwaukee beat the Spurs. Patty Mills sat this one out. 120-113. And Charlotte lost to the Clippers, 125-98. That was the game where we've got LaMelo hurting his wrist. On today's games, we had an absolute rip-snorter of a slate. Indy beat Miami in overtime thanks to Juzzy Holiday hitting a couple of massive threes in overtime, 109-106. And Miami couldn't call a timeout right at the end because the refs hate Eric Spoelstra, apparently. Anyway, that's a big win for Indy. Because they've just gone and won the back-to-backs in Miami, right? So I'll talk about that again in a second. OKC beat Houston 114-112. That's hilarious. John Wall fucks up two game winners. Or at least game tires. OKC hold on to win. Houston snapped their streak of double-digit losses at 12, but they've still got the loss. So it's 20. New Orleans beat Denver in an amazing game, 113-108. They came all the way back. Topsy-turvy game. Denver looked like they had it just in control in the fourth, and then Spindles Ingram went absolutely ham. He was awesome. Boston smoked Orlando, 112-96. Washington put up a very valiant fight against Brooklyn, 113. The Nets win it in Blake Griffin's debut as a Brooklyn Net, where he, we'll talk about this in a second, dunked. 113-106. Washington were right there, though, the entire way. Brooklyn just held on. And then, weirdly, Washington didn't foul at the end. It was bonkers. Toronto got beaten by Cleveland. That's right.
Cleveland!
What a weekend for them. Upsy-down-skis. 116-105. The sex man was awesome. Toronto came all the way back in that, and then Cleveland sort of just expanded the lead once. They're up like 22 in the fourth quarter. Anyway, Chicago beat the Detroit Basketball Pistons. Philly, New York played an absolute belter in New York. It was 101 Philly, 100 the Knicks in overtime. Insane game. Julius Randle gets called for a foul and misses the game winner at the end of overtime. Absolutely bonkers. The Lakers get absolutely fucking killed. They got straight killed.
So he got straight killed.
By the Suns, 111-94, and the final game of the weekend. Dallas shit-pumped the Portland Trailblazers, 132-92. See, it's very hard to win both of those baseball game series. But let's get to the weekend winners and losers and talk about that right bloody now. Sound good? Let's do it.
Oh, my God. I won! I won! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is...
Me!
Kent Brockman. Can we get a shot of me?
There you go.
There you go. In other news, tragic mix-up today in Cleveland.
Many people killed. Well, really, just Toronto. So, this is the fun part. Cleveland, that's right, Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Out there just hosting, you know, bangers in Toronto, or the Tampa Banes of the world, and also the Paddy Thrillskis of the world. So Cleveland have played a couple of home games. They had a couple of Aussies come by. Do you reckon Delhi's hosting duties got a bit of a workout with Paddy in town and then bangers? You better bloody hope so. Never saw anything pop up on Instagram, though, so that makes me a bit sad. Might not have time to pop by Casa Della Deli, though. Anyway, weekend winners and losers, Blake Griffin. He's on an actual basketball team, so what did he do? His first bucket is a net. He dunked. His first in-game dunk since 2019. Of course, he's barely played since 2019. But still, absolute. It's the old rope-a-dope. It's like, oh, geez, Detroit, my legs are a bit sore and tired. I don't think I can dunk anymore. You should probably buy out my contract and give me $50 million to go. They do. And he's like, aha! I was fine the entire time. You got bleaked. Good on him. Love it. Looks good in those awesome Nets jerseys too. But Blake Griffin, first bucket as a net is a dunk. Amazing. Other weekend winners, Lugans Dort. Dort had the game-saving block. You don't see it much, but by golly gosh, it was good. Blocked the shit out of John Wall. That was gnarly. Great, great gates. Great stuff for Lugans. Love that shit. The Bucks, weekend winners. They beat a frisky Spurs team. They were down 14 at one point, the Bucks, in that game. Came back and won it, but they've won six on the trot. They saw PJ Tucker make his debut, and they've got to be feeling very, very fucking good about things right now, because they're basically, they're two games back of the Sixers. They're in the third spot in the East, right? They've won six on the trot. They've won nine of the last 10. They're feeling good. They're 27-14. They're basically two wins behind the old Nets there, and a couple there from the Sixers, but geez. Adding pieces, getting healthy, feeling good. The Bucks, just a heads up. I reckon they might be one of those teams that are just absolutely fucking fully prepped to absolutely roll through the second half of a season. You're going to see so many teams limping and trying to figure their shit out. And the Bucks, with all that continuity, they might have finally sort of figured out, here's Giroux, we've brought in PJ, we've got our rotation, now let's just kick some ass and take some names. It's pretty good. Speaking of which, the Sixers, though. But Jimmy, what about the Sixers? They did beat the Kings without Big Simo Ben Simmons. Oh, Box Hill Benny. They turned around on a back-to-back and outlast the Knicks, which I expected 100% the Knicks to win that game. So the fourth quarter, the Sixers should have won it. They let Julius Randle hit the game-tying three to get it to overtime. They should have fouled. Always foul up three. I mean, fuck, man. It's not hard. It's not rocket surgery. They can't score 3 points if they're only shooting two. You know? Anyway, they hold on. They outlast the Knicks. Danny Green goes absolutely fucking bonkers. And look, these sorts of wins are what good teams do, right? They just steamroll teams that are worse than them, even without their MVP candidate. And even without Simmons, they beat the Kings. It was a huge weekend, so they're big winners. And that's why they're still the East number one seed. And I mean, it's a fucking bloodbath at the top of the East. It's a bit of a, you know, drop off between the top three. It's a top tier. It's, you know, how it works in the East. You got your tiers. And good on them for sticking right. So who else? Ben Simmons. He's a weekend winner. I'll tell you why. Because, you know, he's Ben Simmons, Box Hill Benny. Undefeated all time still against the hated New York Knickerbockers of New York City. Amazingly, he's 14-0 in his career. And I think they've beaten them 15 straight times. So he missed one of the games. But yeah, incredible. Just don't, you know, go out in New York, Simo, and see how you go. Brad Stevens is a weekend winner. Why is that, Jimmy? Well, he finally told everyone to fuck off with the Indiana University job. I mean, I'll talk about this later, but Jesus. Just, could you imagine having, like, one of, like, the best jobs in your entire field and some fucking bunch of dipshitted, deluded assholes like, nah, I reckon you'd like this job better. And it's like, no, I would you fuck? And they just don't shut up. They just don't shut up, college fucking basketball. It's March Madness. Gnarly. Everyone gives a fuck about college basketball for a couple of weeks. It's gnarly. Happy days. Boom. But fuck off with your Indiana University job, you morons. I'll get back to this later. Speaking of Indiana, Indy. March Madness is going on. It's awesome. I love March Madness. I don't know what the fuck's going on for the most part, but it's pretty cool. Also, the Pacers, they won both their games. I mentioned this as a part of a baseball series against the Miami Heat in Miami, and it's given their season just a little bit of a shot in the arm because they were in floundering territory. They were 17-22, looking a bit iffy. They pulled off both these wins, and now they're feeling a little bit better about themselves, no doubt. So good job, Pacers. And beating the Heat especially is like a double-edged sword, right? Like, you're going to be fighting right there in the guts of the East standings with the Heat, and Indy just knocked off two of them. It's the old double wins. So good job, Indy. Speaking of which, Atlanta. There's a team on a fucking right. They're on an 8-game winning streak since they shit-canned poor old Lloyd Pierce. Nate McMillan takes over and goes, righto, fellas, come on. Just fucking gather around. No more piss farting about. Let's just play good. And they're like, all right, coach, 1, 2, 3, go. And 8-0. Unbelievable. You can only beat the teams in front of you. And that's exactly what Atlanta have done. They've beaten a hobbled Lakers team, sans LeBron. They've beaten the Thunder. They've beaten the Rockets. They've beaten the Cavs, Sacramento, the Raptors without any of their players, the Magic, and the Heat. Not exactly a murderer's row. But again, you can only beat the teams in front of you. And get this, the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks are currently in fourth in the East. They're 22-20 and in fourth. That is absolutely fucking bonkers. Good on them. I love it. And we talk about this on Friday's show, right? Like, health and having a fucking plan actually seems to be big factors in just not being bad as a basketball team. We're seeing it with Minnesota right now too. Good on them. But it really does speak to how everyone sort of like just has better defined roles on the Hawks. And when you watch them, you can tell. It's weird. The Pelicans are weekend winners because they had a huge come-from-behind win against Denver. I mentioned this earlier, how they're... Well, I mean, we're always talking about how Jekyll and Hyde the Pelicans are and what they're going to do about Lonzo, but that win was massive because Spindles takes over, gets them over the line. If they drop that, they'd be 17-25 and just on some fucked tough sledding for the rest of the ride, you know, into the playoffs. But 18-24, still within punching distance of the Grizz and the Warriors, and really, I guess, Spurs and Mavs. But look, if they had to drop that, would have been fucked. But now they've got a hobbled-ass Lakers team next and can feel pretty good after two very tough losses up in Portland. So good job, Pelicans. Big weekend for them. Andrew Wiggins is a weekend winner. Why is that, Jimmy? Well, he realized he could shoot a lot. No Steph. He's gone, fuck it, 40-piece. He dropped 40 points on the weekend, Andrew Wiggins. But first game without Steph after Steph hurt his bum. 14-24 shooting. The best part is Wiggins is like, I don't fucking care, man. I'm going to keep doing it. Next game, 4 of 14. 20 points. Thanks for coming, Wigo. Joker! Nikola Jokic, hello! Oh, what was that sound? What was that? Oh, that was the sound of Nikola Jokic kicking the fucking door open to the MVP race. Unbelievable. That's no door. It's a jar. No, it's an ajar door. He fucking kicked it open. And off he went, 34-15-9, and then a triple-double today against the Pals, 29-10-10. If they hold on and win that game, it's like, shit, Jokic is the MVP frontrunner, and this is it. We're going to talk about this again later, but Jesus. He comes out of this weekend a huge winner because, look, Embiid missing time probably knocked him off a little bit. LeBron was just lurking. He's finding, you know, he's just doing fine. The Lakers are treading water. They'll get AD back on a massive run in the second half of the season. LeBron wins the MVP. It was writ large. It was very simple. Now LeBron's got a high ankle sprain. They're the worst ones. It went the wrong way. It's fucked. So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens now, how early and how quickly LeBron comes back. But the Joker, going to be sitting there just going, fucking yes. Yes, let's go. Let's go. I'm going to win my first MVP. And Giannis is going to be sitting there going, ah, but I'm doing better than everybody. And the final one is the weekend winner is Kyle Kuzma. He's looking around going, all right, man, no AD, no LeBron, you know what fucking time it is, baby. Kuzma time, let's go. Woo! Kuzma's got to be fucking loving it. Fucking king of LA for a couple of weeks, eh, Kyle? Armenian looking Allen, motherfucker. Right, let's do some losers of the weekend, however.
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners. Big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys. Shut up.
Loser.
Loser. Loser. Losers. Right, easy one, this one. Obviously the Lakers and Hornets, but really us. Us. You know, this personally affects us, doesn't it? Injuries so far this year have deprived us, what, AD, KD, Embiid, LeBron. What's that, four MVP candidates going into the season? Steph's out now as well. Now we've got LaMelo missing, the rookie of the year front runner. Obviously, we lost Clay and Johnny Isaac, Thomas, not Kobe Bryant. Fultz, we lost. Ah, man, there's just a lot. And you're going to get this, right? Like, we've got the shortened season. We understand that. And you're like, oh, that's right. The shortened season, that means more injuries. And here we are. So, look, fingers crossed we don't get any more fucking major injuries to anybody. It's like fucking protect Giannis and Luka at all costs, you know? And, we lost Bags the other day too. It's just one after the fucking other of just, dudes, can we just all stay healthy out here? It'd be nice. Can we do it? I mean, we were without Cat for ages too, so anyway. Obviously, the Lakers, half game up on the four seed there in the West. They lose the... Well, actually, one game up on the Clips because they've played a couple more. They've played the same amount. They are literally just one game up. What is happening? Am I just going fucking... Yeah, I'm just like getting all like dyslexic and shit. Anyway, the Lakers now lost two on the trot as of today's loss because they obviously lost to the Hawks and then lost to the Suns today. But they're in the three seed now. The Clippers are right there in the four. And the tricky part is the Nuggets in five and the Blazers are tied in the 5-6 spots. And the Lakers are only 2.5 games up on the six. That's a fucking worry, isn't it? Any slippage out of the top three is going to make shit hard, I think, in the playoffs anyway. Like, the West is a shit show regardless. It's an absolute murderer's row. But if you fall to the four or five and you have to play basically, you know, the Clippers and the Nuggets in the first round, let alone if you're in the two seed or the three seed and somehow you end up with like the Spurs or something, you're not really sweating it hard. Who knows what happens with the play-in tournament if you end up with the two seed, etc. But geez, if you're in the six seed and you have to be on the road against one of those top seeds in the West, yikes. It's going to be very tough. But anyway, we'll see what happens with LeBron. The Hornets, they lose LaMelo probably for this season. They've lost three on the trot on this road trip anyway, but damn. With him, they were wildly, wildly fun. They were wildly unpredictable in a good way because you could watch and you had no idea what would happen, but it'd be usually pretty fucking gnarly. And they were fun. Now they're kind of just like, oh, it's okay. And we'll talk about them again later, but just that's a weekend loss for the Hornets. Obviously lose LaMelo. And for us as well because he's been fun. Houston, a weekend losers, obviously. They blew probably their two best chances of snapping the schneid. 20 straight. That's the ninth worst loss streak ever. And it's the third, I think this is the more important one, right? The third longest ever in the one season. Like, so many times teams are shit and they're lucky that their big giant loss streak spans across a couple of seasons so it doesn't look as bad. Houston's was coming when they just seemed to turn the corner a little bit, and then it all went to shit. So the third longest streak ever in one season. This is the worst loss streak since the Process Sixers did it across the 14, 15, 15, 16 seasons, right? Back in, they lost 26 in a row. But still, they lost to Detroit and OKC, even with Victor Oladipo, Christian Wood, John Wall out there doing good stuff. They're just bad. They're very bad. And you kind of just want them to get one more win. Because the other big loser is Steven Silas. I don't know if you saw footage of that sort of press conference he was doing. It's like, hey, coach, you ready to take some questions? And he's just sitting there, just like head in his hands, going, fuck, what have I done? Why did I take this job? And this is the tricky part. And I think a lot of coaches are sort of sitting there going, yeah, this is not ideal. I mean, he was the El Cheapo hire that the Frittata brought in. And now he's being saddled with all these losses. And again, the criticism is floating around out there, and I think it's pretty warranted that it is a bit shitty that it does seem to be a lot of minority coaches that end up being brought in these pretty tough situations and then being thrown to the wolves. It's either that or Ryan Saunders, right? So it's a bit fucky, but anyway. So poor Steven Silas. Look, he knew what he was getting into, but to be honest, he kind of probably thought that Harden would sort of be around there for a little while, maybe even Rusty, who knows? But then it's like, it's okay, we'll bring in Victor Oladipo, and you realize, yeah, he's not actually that good. And John Wall, rad. How about Boogie? And Boogie's like, I want to fight everybody. And it's all just gone to shit. Poor Steven Silas. But anyway, Toronto are weekend losers, because sort of lost in this Houston losing everything saga is that Toronto got ruined by COVID and protocols, stuff as well. And even with their dudes back, they still keep on losing. They were down 22 in the fourth quarter to Cleveland. That's right, to Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Which is fucking wild. Anyway, they got killed by the Sex Man. The tricky part is for the Raps, they're now 2.5 games out of the play-in tournament. Like, not even just the top eight, out of the play-in. Which is crazy. They're going to make up all that room on the Bulls and the Pacers to get into the play-in tournament. That is not ideal if you're Toronto, you know what I'm saying? And their schedule, look, you've got the trade deadline. We're not entirely sure what's going to happen, but the good thing is they play the Rockets. So we have the immovable object, or the very movable object versus the very stoppable force all of a sudden in Houston versus the Toronto Raptors, the two teams with the biggest losing streaks ongoing. So they go to Houston, then they've got Denver, Phoenix, Portland. Oh, jeez. It's not going to get much easier for Toronto, you know what I'm saying? Then they got Detroit, OKC. So who knows what could happen, but Toronto is just looking a bit tough. Tricky part is, look, they're fighting. They're fighting. They're in these games, but eight of those eight losses included two to the Pistons and that Cavs game. So it's a big hole to climb back for. Either way, it's going to be a big week for the Raps because of all the trade rumors and everything. We'll see what happens. Same goes for Miami a little bit. They've lost three on the trot. They're going through a collective shooting slump, though, more than everything. Might also be one of those things where you're like, yeah, trade deadline. Everybody's a little on edge. But the worst part for them was dropping both games of a home series against the Pacers. As I mentioned, that's just fucking crazy. That shit doesn't happen. And then last two, John Wall is a weekend loser. Missed both the game-winning layup attempt where he got blocked to absolute bullshit by Lugans Dort. And then was way off on the game-winning three. So thanks for coming, Johnny Wall. Bit of a weekend loser right there. Expect nothing less. And the Detroit Basketball Pistons are losers, aren't they? I could just stop the sentence there and just walk away and go, that's it. But amazing scenes in Brooklyn. Just imagine having Blake for a couple of years. Him being shit and literally his first bucket for Brooklyn. He's out there dunking over Kias and shit again. Maybe they should have invested in the Detroit comedy scene or something to make him a bit happier in Detroit. But really, I love this glow up. It's hilarious. It's the classic, you've broken up with somebody. They go hit the gym, get a fucking nice haircut, look great, and suddenly they're banging a lawyer or something. You're like, shit. My own fault. I'm Detroit. All right, that's not a knife. Let's do the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the weekend.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Oh, it was a knife. The Sex Man today against the Raps. He was amazing. He went 13-24 from the floor. 6 of 9. Nice. From 3. For 36 points. He was absolutely incredible, Colin Sexton. Just hits him, like, there's a couple of moments where it's like, all right, put him to the sword, and that's exactly what he did. Love it when he's on fire. He is something special. Love the sex man, Colin Sexton. Spindles Ingram was clutch as hell in that game for the Pelicans today, which, look, as I mentioned, they really needed to win against Denver. And he just came up big, like, in every sort of spot. He kept getting and-ones. He had a chance. I think he had three attempts at a two-shot foul, which is pretty good. Ends up with the 30 points, 8 assists, and 6 rebounds. And this is kind of the thing with Spindles. No Lonzo in this game. So he's like, the ball's running a bit more through him. He shot 11 and 23. Zion was going off. Zion had 30 and 6 as well. But Spindles, everything's going through him at the end. Came up big. He was unreal. Never looked like he was going to miss, hitting these awesome, beautiful little mid-ranges and stuff. That was awesome. And then, of course, Big Sexy himself, Nikola Jokic, in that same game, he shot 13 of 19 and had a 29-10-10 triple-double against the Pels. Good on you, Nikola Jokic. And that came after their win over Chicago in overtime. He led them to the big win on Saturday. He had 34 points, 15 rebounds, and 9 assists. Unbelievable. It was so fucking good. What a great weekend for Joker, the Sex Man, and Spindles. All really good performances. Good stuff. They're all the NBA Australia Pro performances of the nights. How about Spud of the Night, though? Spud of the Night. Derek White went 3 of 14 against the Bucks. Yeesh. Not ideal. Terry Rozier went 2 of 10 from the floor for Charlotte against the Clips. Classic Terry. Kelly Oubre pairing up with Wigo. Wigo goes 4 of 14. Oubre goes 4 of 13. Great stuff, fellas. That's some Warriors pride right there. Tyler, there goes my hero. And Kelly, the Hoosier, a Linux today for the Heat against the Pacers. Tyler goes 4 of 16 and 0 of 7 from 3. Kelly goes 3 of 11 from the floor and 1 of 7 from 3. Ugh, brutal. I told you about the shooting. So literally nobody but Butts can hit a fucking shot on that team. Even Bam's been in and out, but Jesus. Tell you what. But also, special mention, Chetty the Jedi. Chetty Osman, 0 of 6 against the Spurs on Saturday, then 0 of 5 from 3 in that same game, then went 1 of 6 today. Unbelievable against the Raptors. Chetty, what are you doing, mate? That's a lot of spuds out there being thrown around. How about old mate no mates, though? Who's got no mates today? Julius Randle. Yep. Look, he's out there crushing it for the Knickerbockers at the moment. They're fighting hard. They're in all these games. And all he wants to do is fight the refs. So much ref fighting. 24 points today on 23 shots. Bit of a tough one. But look, this is what happens when you try to fight refs. You're at home. It's right at the end of the game. It's in overtime. The ball's in the air. It's missed the shot. You kind of give Tobias Harris a bit of a shove. Guess what? How you like him now, said the refs. How you like these apples? Julius, what do you reckon? Bang! 2 shots. Tobias Harris hits them both. He was actually a bit of a runner for Spud of the Night as well because he missed 2 free throws that basically would have helped seal it. And so did Big Simo Ben Simmons. Jesus, guys, what are you fucking doing? Tobias Harris shot 5 of 18 today as well. Anyway, Julius, though, gets the foul called against him. And then after the game said, for them to call that and decide that game is fucking ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They've got to do a better job. It's too many games like this. And I'm not going to argue with him. But also, Julius, you put yourself in the position where you're going to get that call going against you. You're in the paint. You're shoving Tobias Harris. You're also Julius Randle, the guy who literally last week wanted to fight refs. What do you think the refs are going to do in that situation, pal? Just saying. It's a bit old mate, no mates there. That's the refs definitely just going, yeah, fuck you, mate. Tough one. But I mean, he can get on the team bus and still be like, yeah, fuck refs, fuck me. It's like, yeah, because you kept trying to fight them, Julius. Jesus. Anyway, pantsing of the night. Fatty fat. I mentioned this. John Wall with the blocked game tying layup by Dort We need more Dort license plates. Ah, then fucking brick the horrible looking three. It's like, oh, the play broke down and I had to shoot it. And it was one of the worst shots you could say. Poor Millsap got trucked by Zion. Like, he was at his side and just made a business decision. He's like, you could see him halfway through, like, trying to defend Zion. He's like, I'm too old for this. I'm out. I'll see you. Just, like, walked away. But this was a great weekend for fucking pantsings. PJ Dozier, he got absolutely bulldozed by Jackson Hayes. He got bodied in the air. It was incredible. It was fucking... The man got pushed, like, 2 meters back in the air by Jackson Hayes. Like, he went up with a contest and ended up, like, 2-3 meters from where he started because Jackson Hayes just fucking destroyinated him. It was unreal. Good on you, PJ Dozier, for putting yourself in the position to try to contest it, but Jesus. And the Souvlaki King got absolutely first by Bam Adebayo. Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis. He's like, I'm playing very, very well, very good basketball. I take charge. And Bam went, oh, it's a nice charge you try to take there, bro. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go scorched fucking earth on ya and bury ya. And that's exactly what Bam did. He buried him like fucking 28 feet underground. Suva didn't know what hit him. And it looked even worse. Look, the PJ Dozier one is pretty brutal because he gets like fucking dunked on his head. That's what Jackson Hayes does. He's going to dunk on your head. And Jackson didn't get a technical this time for taunting. So good job, Jackson. But Jesus, it looks worse for the Souvlaki King because he's trying to take the charge like an idiot and got fucking plowed by Bam. Great stuff there. It's not so much like, you know, it's just basically this is bullies just dacking like the nerds trying to play defense today. Tough one. Who was better than Lonzo Ball though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. It's a damn shame. Lonzo set out this weekend and the sex man went off. He had the 36. How about we give this to Lonnie Walker though? For the older erstwhile San Antonio Banderas Spurs. Bloke had a career high 31. He was awesome. Went 13 of 21 from the floor, 5 of 9 from downtown, 6 rebounds, 1 assist and 2 steals. Lonnie Walker out there crushing if, you know, while Lonzo's out. And it's like one of those weird ones where they go, oh, Lonzo's like, we better sit him. He's like, is he about to get traded? Are they going to trade him right now? Like, what's happening? Is he going to get traded? Ah, I don't know, man. I don't know. So, look, but still great stuff. Josh Green, good out there today. I just want to mention this a little bit later before I forget. He's out there absolutely crushing as well. Better than Lonzo Ball. Got out there in the middle of a blowout and just did some work. You love to see it. Love me some Josh Greeny Green. Also better than Lonzo Ball, but look, come on, man. Let's give it up. Lonnie Walker, he was amazing. Finally, Dickhead of the Weekend.
Dickhead of the Week!
We're going to talk about this one in a second. Solomon Hill hurting LeBron, fucking up his foot. I don't know, it's a bit of a tough one. But Sook of the Weekend, kind of, you know, a bit of a dickhead thing. So all the other players on the Lakers kind of went at Solomon Hill. You had Schroeder, you had Markieff Morris, Trez sort of voicing their concerns. And you're like, I don't know, man. We'll talk about this in year nars in just 2 seconds, but yeah, I don't know if I want to call him Dick of the Weekend. So how about we go Sook of the Weekend? You got Randall talking about the refs. It's like, bro, Julius. Don't know, mate. Don't know what to tell you. You might have done that one to yourself. But Keith Morris goes, they set up with a trap game. They set us up with a trap game, man. I don't care how the NBA feel about it. It was a trap game. Playing 20-year-olds at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, man. They trapped us. He's not wrong. But it's also a pretty big sook. All right, let's do some yeah-nas right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kidd.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey, guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Illy.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Yeah, nahs are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East North Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, footy's back. And it's all weird and muggy. It's good beer drinking weather, I'd say that much. But how nice is it just watching footy, watching the basketball of a night, smashing a few tins. So if you go to thedailyliquor.com, they've got amazing beer specials. The best part is they've also got wines and cocktails, and they've got amazing packs. We can get a whole bunch of them, and it's really, really good value. So fuck going to the bottle-o. Go to thedailyliquor.com right now. Check it out. If it's a Melbourne metro area, you get same-day delivery before noon. You'll be laughing. Get around thedailyliquor.com right now and smash the code Straya, and you get a free six-pack on your mate Jimmy of the DOS X. That's right, the DOS XPA. It's a fine, fine drinking beer. Pummeled a few on the weekend too, I'll tell you that much. Jesus. So buy some booze, spend 20 wing whams, get a free six on your mate Jimmy. I can't do much more than that for yous. I'm also trying to give you a meat tray. Weyard.co, NBA Australia. Right. Yeah, Nas. Is that it for LeBron's MVP chances, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. Because look, this is part of the narrative. You'll come back sooner than you expect. They'll win some more games. AD will come back. They'll finish the season on a massive, massive run. The Lakers will look really good once it's all clicking. And we're like, we've got to give it to LeBron, you know? So, well, they might not do that, but I think it's not it for his MVP chances, that's for sure. But was that a dirty play by Solomon Hill that injured LeBron, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. Look, dude's going for the ball. And you can't really say if they're going for the ball, it's a really dirty play, right? Like, it's not dirty or trying to injure him, but it's very much, like, it's maybe a little bit, yeah. Because it's probably, a little bit, yeah, because he probably doesn't have to dive through the bloke's legs to get the fucking ball. And that's where you do go, but I don't think he's very clearly, he's not intentionally doing it. You know, he's not rolling up on his leg intentionally. He's sort of just going for the ball and falls a bit wonky. So I think the intention is not to hurt the guy, so I don't think it's a dirty play. It was probably just a bit of an unco shit. Got a bit sketchy on us. Shitty play. Can the Lakers survive without LeBron and AD? Look, I think they've still got enough in Trez, in Dennis Schroeder, in German Rondo, Kyle Kuzma, THT, he's dynamite. And the Caruso, because the Caruso actually might be now the most important player in the Lakers. Let's see him go off. But the thing is, when your superstars go out, as long as you can sort of tread water a little bit to make sure that you haven't become like the fucking 8 seed or something in their absence and play, you know, you're suddenly in the play-in tournament, all you got to do is be able to beat the shitter teams and just sort of keep floating around. And I think the Lakers are good enough just to do that. So it's going to be fascinating, showcase of Frank Vogel's coaching. It's like, Frank Vogel's a really good coach. Was he though in Orlando when he had no talent? Or is it just that he's got two of the fucking five best players in the NBA on his team all of a sudden? Well, that'd be the second one, but we're going to find out. But I think the Lakers, look, they'll survive. They won't thrive, but they'll be okay. Can Charlotte survive without LaMelo though, Jimmy? Look, similar vibes. They will survive, but can they not survive, but thrive? I don't think they'll thrive without LaMelo. The timing, though, for Charlotte is wildly, wildly just like, thank fuck it happened now. Okay, right? Because they got Devontae Graham back, so they can still roll out Gordy Hayward, Terry Rozier, Devontae Graham, and Malik Monk. But LaMelo really, like, without him, their ceiling fucking is just way lowered. Because you could see them reaching the playoffs, getting through the play-in tournament, maybe getting a 6 seed or something anyway and avoiding it. And just sort of being like a really, really fun first round series against one of the top teams. And it would have been awesome because LaMelo, Gordy, Rose, punches chance. Who knows what could have fucking happened. Because he was also turning into this sort of glue guy, similar to the Gordon Hayward type, right? The guy who fills in the margins while also doing some pretty spectacular shit. LaMelo's D had been ticking up. His playmaking was just getting better and better each month. And the other dudes feed off that shit, right? Like, there's no way Terry Rozier isn't just like, I can take over fourth quarters and be scary Terry because we've gotten into these positions because LaMelo's doing it. I don't have to do everything because now I've got Gordy and we've got these dudes. So dudes feed off that. And without him there, it's a bit of a fucking shit show, isn't it? But, because they've got Gordy, because they've got their Rose, they've got Devontae, and they can let Malik Monk go off the bench again and just go absolutely ham. Just go, because it looked like there was going to be a bit of a squeeze, right? With Devontae and Malik Monk coming off the bench at the moment, with Gordy, Rose, and LaMelo starting. Now it's sort of just ends out a little bit, and Malik Monk might, you know, just turn back into his crazy self that he was a couple of weeks ago. So we'll see what happens. Does that mean, though, Jimmy, that Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man, is a lock for Rookie of the Year? Yeah, nah, yeah. 100%. Like, Wiseman was good to start the year. Anthony Edwards was shit. LaMelo just got better and better and better and better and better. But he doesn't have enough in the bank if he's out for the rest of the season to win it. Because Anthony Edwards has been fucking spectacular since Finchie took over. And they've been really good. So Anthony Edwards, as long as he plays out the season, wins the Rookie of the Year. You can't even bet on it at the moment. It's all over. Shut it down. What about the unpopular opinion of the day, Jimmy?
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. One of the most fucking peculiarly American vibes is Brad Stevens. And people looking at professional coaches going, oh, they want to go and coach in college. Ah, oh, they should go coach this university. Fuck off. Brad Stevens was never going to leave the Boston Celtics to go fucking coach Indiana University. Oh, he's from there, though. He could build a program. It's just like Bobby Knight. Mate, who gives a fuck? Nobody. The Boston Celtics are one of the premier franchises in the NBA. They're world-renowned. They have a huge, massive following across the world. They've got amazing young players in Tatum and Brown. They've got fucking everything there built around him. He could basically become like an all-time tenured NBA coach. So, oh, but he could be like Bobby Knight in Indiana. Fuck off, you college. Americans thinking that college and amateur sports is on the same level as pro sports is so fucking American. Because they all get so wrapped up in their bullshit college stuff. They're like, oh, Jim Harbaugh might leave the 49ers to go coach Michigan. He got fired and then he went to Michigan. It's because he was being shit as a head coach in the actual NFL. It never happens in the NBA. And it won't happen. The pro team, look, the money is fucking ridiculous in amateur sports anyway. Because I don't think it should be fucking allowed for you to not be able to pay the athletes. But you can pay a fucking coach $6 million a year. Where does that money come from, you idiots? It's unbelievable. But anyway, Brad Stevens was never going to give up coaching the Boston Celtics to go coach Indiana University. It's like, I don't care. He didn't. He's like, dude, I'm not going to. The fact that he had to come out twice and go, would you fuck off? I'm not going to do it. And people just don't get it through their stupid thick skulls. But yeah, the Boston Celtics might be a better job as a coach in Indiana until Brad Stevens gets fired as the coach of the Boston Celtics because they can't seemingly get over the hump. Then he can go take the IU job and feel fine and become Bobby Knight if he wants. Oh, but you leave a bigger legacy. Win some fucking titles with the Celtics and then we'll talk about legacy, you idiots. Jesus. Can you tell that this sort of stuff gets me fired up? It's Monday at Outback, and you know what that means? Time for Kookaburra Wings. That's right, I've been running around the backyard with a big stick, bringing down some kookaburras just for you, only at Outback. It might be going, go, 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 and then go, thwack. And it'll go, yum, 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 in your mouth and into your belly. Only at Outback. So get your lips around these kookaburra wings with this flame grilled take today. LeBron isn't actually that injured. He's faking because this is his 2 weeks off that he gets to have sometimes each of these years. This is his real all-star break. Watch him take these 2 weeks off, come back, feel good, and stomp his way to the MVP. Only at Outback. No, I don't know, man. I saw how badly that fucking foot rolled and you're like, oh, Jesus. Even LeBron can't come back quickly from this one. High ankle sprains suck. It could be like a fucking 4 to 6 week injury. But it's LeBron, so it'll probably be 2 weeks after they get all that stem cells. I'd also like to thank I Am Matty S on Twitter. When I'm like out there yelling about non-surgical procedure to like, you know, help your shit, like I always just assume they're giving you a fucking injection. He then pointed out they're probably giving them an injection of stem cells. I'm like, oh yeah, that's way more dodgy, isn't it? Shit. Anyway, here's some steroids. Right, let's take a break and be back with Australian Player Watch right after, let's say, this one.
This is Shane Heal, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, knowable. What do NBA All-Star Chris Paul, NASA Commander Scott Kelly, and Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian all have in common? Well, they've all got incredible experiences, and they've all created audio courses to teach you what they've learned. They're on Knowable, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach new skills in bite-sized little audio courses. They're short like a podcast, expert-led like an audiobook, and 100% ad-free. It's like Spotify for learning stuff. I love it. The bloke from NASA teaches you lessons learned from a career in space. Chris Paul discusses the performance benefits of a plant-based lifestyle. Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian teaches you how to launch a startup. And there's over 100 other experts out there waiting to teach you something new. So if you're keen to learn some new stuff today, download the Knowable app. Visit knowable.fyi. Download the app. Use the code STRAY and get 20% off. That's knowable.fyi. KNOWABLE.fyi. Check it out. I love them. Get around it. Get 20% off. Right, Australian Player Watch. Easy one this week. Big Samo Ben Simmons sat out against Sacramento. And Matty T started in his place. He was awesome. He had good game, that one. I'll talk about that in a second. But Simo's game today against the Knicks, 16 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal and a block. But he had 7 turnovers and missed both of his free throws right at the end of the game. Shot 8 of 17, not ideal. And you like really could see the limitations in his offensive repertoire as well. But it's coming along. He'll be fine. But it's one of those things where you're like, man, I just kind of wish you could throw in the ball and he could probably get you a bucket at the end of a game. Pretty handy. Matisse Thybulle, Aussie Matty T in that win. Started, played 32 minutes against Sacramento. 8 points, shot 2 of 6, went 2 of 4 from 3. He also had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, a block and a steal. Crushed it. And then versus the Knicks today, went back to his normal 18 minutes. Had 6 points in that one, went 2 of 5, all of which were from 3. 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 2 blocks, including 1 clutch 3 that he hit right at the end. That was fucking gnarly. Kept him right in it. That was awesome. Jingling Joe Ingles, after his career high 34 points the other day, the win over Bangers Baines and his Toronto Bay Raptors. 19 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 1 steal. Shot 5 of 6, all of which were from 3 and went 4 of 4 from the charity stripe. Great stuff from Jingles. Moved back to the bench and kicked ass. Patty Thrills, Patty Mills in that win over Cleveland. You know, got his visit in with Dally, said good day. Yeah, 12 points, 2 assists, shot 3 of 10. Probably weighed down from all the Corona tins. And 3 of 8 from 3. Also hit all of his 3 throws, all 3 of them. And then sat out against the Bucks. Bit of a rest for Patty. Good on him. Bangers! Aaron Bangers Baines in the loss to the Cavs. Would have swung by Dally's place as well for a bit of Barbie. You could tell. 14 minutes, 4 points, 0 of 1 from the floor. All 4 of his points came from the free throw line. He went 4 of 6 from there. And 9 rebounds, though. So he was at least, you know, snagging some rebounds. One steal. And then he played against Jingles and the Utah Jazz. 7 minutes, 2 points, 1 rebound the other day. That actually was the game before the Cavs, but I just had it written upside down. Dele still out with his concussion. Dante Exum still out with his calf. Josh Greeny Green, though, did get out there today against the Portland Trailblazers, which was lovely to see. Got a bit of run because it was a bit of a blowout. And it's the first time he's played since, you know, those back-to-back games after the All-Star break when he got a little bit of run. But today he played 10 minutes, went 2 of 4 from the floor. So ends up with 4 points and 1 assist. Good on you, Greeny. You love to bloody see it. No Will Magnay either still. The Stan Van Gundy also hates Australians. Right, it's Monday. Let's do the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. It's the first Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Clap it up. Really quick, easy one today. Chris Paul went past 10,000 assists today. He's now at 10,004. 6th place all time, which is gnarly. It's really fucking cool. That's amazing. Just to be like on an all-time list, because most of them, when you talk about all-time lists at the moment, are pretty much just LeBron. But like Dwight is right up there in terms of rebounds, like total rebounds and stuff like that. And I think Chris Paul's up there in steals as well. But to go past 10,000 is absolutely amazing, isn't it? Like, he's still ahead of Oscar Robertson, we know that. LeBron's like actually right there at 9,669. Nice. But the fact that LeBron's right there, Chris Paul has gone past 10,000. He's right there, all-time Stockton kid, Nash, Mark Jackson, and Magic Johnson. He'll go past Magic, he'll go past Mark Jackson, probably. You know, in the next you know, 12 months pretty easily. So awesome to see. And Nash too, yeah. That's some excellence. Chris Paul. He also had a triple-double when he did it. Jesus, don't bury the lead, Jimmy. Unbelievable. He was so good in this game against us. Like, he didn't shoot great. Yeah, I went 3 of 11, but still ends up with a Jason Kidd triple-double, 11 points, 10 rebounds, 13 assists, and the 10,000th assist was a really good pass to Ayton. And that was a really good job from Ayton today as well, 26 points for him. But good job, Chris Paul. That's some Andrew Gaze-esque stuff. Paddy Mills, Game Day Baller, Game Day Twitter check-in. Let's do this quick one. A good one from Paddy on Instagram. Restoriating Wataru Ogachan, who took a selfie in the gym in his Paddy Mills, Paddy Thrills Fiesta jersey. Mine arrived on the weekend. Feeling good about that. And Paddy Mills reposted it saying, hashtag have a nice workout at Baller Pat. And then there was another one on his Instagram story of a lady wearing another of those Paddy Mills Fiesta jerseys. Legendary. It's inspiring stuff. Right, game previews.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. You excited for a week of solo dadding?
Ah, you better believe it. I'm also excited the footy's back. Me and the squid sitting around, chilling out, watching some footy on the weekend. That was lovely. Do some more of it this week. Over the weekend, we went 12 of 25 on our picks. Just a little bit under 500. We had a really rough Saturday, I think, on the picks. Yeah, 3 of 10 on Saturday. Oof, rough as guts. But we pulled it back in the end. So 12 of 25, that leaves us at 377 of 686 for the season. Not bloody bad. Right, tomorrow's games, though. We have Sacramento taking on Cleveland. The Kings are 4-point favorites against the Cavs, which is pretty cool, pretty good. The Kings are probably going to have to get a win on this road trip. The Cavs are on a back-to-back. I think I might take Sacramento -4 here. I don't trust Sacramento as far as I can throw them. But the Cavs do tend to have like these little blips where they play other kind of rough teams and also sort of fall apart. So I might take the Kings because, I don't know, the Kings got killed by Philly. They've had a couple of days off. They beat the Celtics the other night. Let's go Kings. I think they can win this one. -4 against Cleveland. OKC take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. OKC, speaking of Jekyll and Hyde teams at the moment, up and down very much so at the moment. They obviously kept Houston to the lost streak. They're now going to Minnesota. I'm going to take Minnesota -2 at home. They're looking pretty good at the moment, Minnesota. Not good, but like not fucking horrifically historically amazingly bad, which is what they had been looking like. So good on him. I'll take the Wolves -2 at home against OKC. OKC, you're okay. But Mini, look, I trust him here. Charlotte go to San Antonio. San Antonio off the end of the road trip. Take on a devoured Charlotte after losing LaMelo. I'm going to take San Antonio -5 here. Just probably a few too many weapons for Charlotte to keep up with. So give me the Spurs -5. DeMar DeRozan's back as well with them, and Lonnie Walker's going off at the moment. So give me San Antonio. Chicago host Utah. They're getting 9 points at home. It's probably just a couple too many points. If it was 7, I'd probably take Utah, but it's 9. I'll take Charlotte. It's one of those games where they sort of end up they're down by 14 a lot of it. They end up only finishing down by 8 or something. So I'll take Chicago +9. Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine against Donnie Mitchell. That should be fun. I'm excited about that one. Now, there was no line when I checked before on Toronto-Houston. The absolute shit show matchup, and there still isn't. So head to head, what do you reckon? Can Houston break the 20 game lose streak, or Toronto, will they snap their 8 game losing streak? I'm going to go with Toronto. I trust them way more than Houston. So I'll go the Tampa Bay's Raptors against Houston in Houston tomorrow. It's going to be fun. Again, maybe it's just a team that's completely fuckulated by trade rumors, but give me Toronto. Boston, go to Memphis. I'm going to take the Celtics. They're +1 against the Grizzlies. The Celtics, oh, now they're -1. Well, it was +1 when I wrote it down, so fuck all yous. I'm taking my Boston +1 pick. Thank you very much. They're a better team than Memphis. More weapons. Memphis are good, but I'm going to take Boston +1. Indy versus Milwaukee. I heard it's Algonquin for the good land. It's not going to be Algonquin for the good land for Indy tomorrow. -6 the Bucks are. I'm going to take Milwaukee -6. Indy getting a nice couple of surprise wins over Miami were nice. Milwaukee, you're on the rampage though, so give me the Bucks -6. Atlanta +6.5 against the Clippers is the last game tomorrow. That's an awesome game now. You got the Hawks on a 8-game winning streak going up against the Clippers team. They're sort of slowly, sneakily sort of being pretty good. Atlanta are getting plus 6.5. I'm going to take that. I think they lose, but I think it's a really close game. How's that sound? Sound good? So 8 games tomorrow. Sacramento minus 4, Mini minus 2, San Antonio minus 5, Chicago plus 9, Toronto head-to-head, Boston plus 1, Milwaukee minus 6, and Atlanta plus 6.5. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around all their NBA specials. And remember, bet responsibly. Right, that's it for today. We are back tomorrow. Wrap it all up for you. Fun games, though, tomorrow. Boston-Memphis is going to be great. I also love watching, like, Utah-Chicago. It's like, you know, 97-98 finals vibes. Either way, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all over the socials all the time. Get around our raffle. Weare.co. The NBA Australia raffle, there's heaps of shit there. It's awesome at the moment. We're loving it. I really appreciate the response already. It's been absolutely awesome. That's going to be really, really fun. You can check out the links on Facey Twitter. I can check around up on IG as well. So go get around the NBA Australia raffle. So many good prizes. World Wrestling Australia. We've got a whole bunch of stuff for Adam to talk about on World Wrestling Australia this week. We've got that massive, awesome brawl between Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker. That was in the AEW. Love that. Thumbtacks, blood everywhere. It was fucking violent. Adam's going to be talking heaps about that. It's awesome. It's a fun, fun, fun week of World Wrestling Australia. So go check it out on YouTube. Adam's absolutely crushing at the moment. It's really good. What else we got? We've got the NBA Australia shop. NBAAustralia.com/shop. Go check that out. Buy some merch. Go on, help a brother out. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on the Android phone. It does help out heaps. So do it. TheDailyLiquor.com, use the code Australia, get a free sixer. Knowable.fyi, get 20% off with Australia as well. And big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out the new band House Hats. They're up and running, out of time is out now. Also big thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, iOS, Extradite, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth, and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Love that. Go check out the raffle, would ya? It's really fun. We're going to close out today's show with a new Delhi review, as mentioned, of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Should be good. We'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads! It's NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosen. Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? Just driving my dolly over here, just down my usual drop by for a pop culture review, eh? And I gotta tell ya, I'm getting a bit pissy about not being out there with the boys and shit. I mean, we had a couple of bad games last week, you know, with the boys, and I was just frothing at the mouth to run out there and start taking fucking scalps and shit, you know. But the doc says I've gotta wait until I can see proper and I don't get wobbly when I move my head. So fair play. But either way, it's been fucking a good week. I had a couple of mates drop by. Paddy Thrill swung by for a quick couple of tins and a bit of a hang. Banger swung by for a barbie and shit. He's off the fucking chain, that bloke. He's like, hey, Dolly, fucking check out all this shit I learned in Tampa Bay about barbecue. And I'm like, fuck off from my barbie prick. I might be small, but I'll fucking smash her. And he backed up quick smart. You don't get between a man and his fucking barbie. I told him. So anyway, so good weekend. But we stayed home this weekend. I mean, you know, it was good to have the fellas around. But either way, I got to pick what the missile and I watched, and it was pretty good. I'll tell you what, I didn't even know what was going on, but there's a brand new Marvel telly show just after the other brand new Marvel telly show, like WandaVision. Like, that one was a bit of a head fuck and everything, right? And then they dropped this one. I'm like, where did this one come from? The missile's like, fuck, mate, it's been everywhere. You're an idiot. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's fair play. So anyway, I'm like, let's fucking go. Bang, bang, shoot 'em up. It's fucking Falcon and the Winter Soldier and shit. That's gnarly, man. And look, no spoilers and nothing. Like, it starts off pretty fucking bang. All lots of action and Falcon doing gnarly shit and the Winter Soldier being all sad and stuff. But I'll tell ya, there is a fuckload of sookin' about Captain America and the Shield and all that sort of stuff, isn't it? You're like, oh, I am plumbing me emotional depths here, bro. This is fucked, mate. But anyway, you get to the end of it, and you're like, oh, that was fucking sick, man. Watch out. So, yeah, you come out of the episode going, that was fucking sick ass. Can't wait for next week. So, look, I really like that we get to dive right in into some other characters in the MCU that we haven't spent too much time with, like, in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So, I really, really enjoyed this episode. Probably gets about 18 out of 10 Deli Ones because it had everything, right? Suspense, intrigue, plenty of fucking splody shit and stuff. So I really can't wait for next week, eh? So there you go. Sorted. Go get around Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Tell us what you reckon. And that's it for me for this week. I'll catch you next week with a new pop culture review. Later, fuckers. Deli out.